I'm also excited about the word today, and I want to share a little bit. I'm not going to be long because I want you to have plenty of time to get to a small group sign up. But I want to preach a psalm today, an entire psalm, and it's just 9 verses, and I just want to work my way through the verses. Psalm 20, if you want to turn there, it'll be on the screen here in just a few moments. But if you want to make some markings in your Bible, this is a psalm of David, and I've said this before, and I say again today that I am really, really glad that David is in the Bible. David literally put his thoughts and his feelings and his heart on display for us. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And it wasn't for pity, it was on purpose. I do believe that God was using him. Not only was God raising him up and preparing him to be the leader that he had destined for him to be and to become, but David was just so pure before God and so honest before God. And so when you read the Psalms, some of them are prayers that he is praying. Some of them are songs or psalms that he is singing, because David is a worshiper. But I truly believe that God orchestrated David's life, and David is in the book to let us know that we are not alone. Because David has days where he feels like a failure. You and I have days that we feel like a failure. David has days that he is so stressed. They didn't necessarily use the word anxious, or anxiety was not a thing, or even depression. But David walked and lived those days, and he puts it on paper for us. He makes it prayers, and he doesn't just say, "Lord, help me." He says, "Lord, help me with this, this, and this." And so oftentimes it is the things that I am feeling and the things that I am going through. And I have needed the strength and the encouragement of the Psalms over the last few weeks. And there's just 9 verses in the 20th Psalm, but I believe they're going to lift you no matter where you are or what you are going through. Psalm 20, and I'm just literally going to go verse by verse, but he says, "May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress." Now, the setting, the scene, David is charging his army before they go into battle, meaning they are set in array, or they are prepared, they are suited up, they are armed, they are in position, and they are prepared to go into battle. But this is a prayer that David is speaking over them, and a declaration that David is speaking over his army before a battle. Listen, a battle is a battle. And David is saying, distress is coming. You're going to have some challenging moments. However long this battle lasts, however many days or however many weeks this battle lasts, you are going to face distress. You are going to deal with challenges. You are going to go through some things that are going to press you and cause you to wonder, wait a minute, am I who God says I am? Am I even called to, you know, I mean, you're just questioning everything about you. Hard times are up ahead. The King James Version says, "May the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble." Well, we probably need to define trouble. What is trouble? Maybe it's life trouble. Maybe it is temptation trouble. Maybe it's financial trouble. Maybe it's moral trouble, relationship trouble. It could even be addiction trouble. I don't know what trouble is for you. I could tell you what trouble is for me right now. But you may not be facing what I'm facing. You may not be dealing with what I'm dealing with. I may not be facing what you're facing, but distress and trouble happens to each of us. You know why? Because life is a battle. You're pretty safe today. Sunday is safe day. Sunday is peace, wonderful peace day. But you're gonna wake up tomorrow morning and be right back in the battle. You're going to get up to go to work and be right back in the battle. You're going to get up to go to school and be right back in the battle. And temptation is going to surround you and struggle is going to come at you from every direction. But he said, may the name of God, may his name protect you. That's why you need to go throughout your day saying his name. You don't have to say it loud. You don't have to announce it to the class. You don't have to be the weird person at work, you know, that just goes around talking in other tongues while, you know, they're trying to tell you how to run this piece of machinery. But you can just pray in your spirit. You can just pray under your breath. You can just say, Jesus, I'm calling your name today. Set an alarm on your phone that at 9 and 3 and 6, I'm going to call his name. I'm going to speak his name over my day because I know that trouble is going to try to find me. And I know the Bible says that he won't give us more than we can bear, but that means we're going to have some trouble. How many are struggling with the sum? I don't know what my limit is. I don't know how far, I don't know how much I can carry. I don't know how far I can go in this trouble thing. And I don't particularly want to find out how far I can go. I'd kind of just like the Lord to keep me and protect me and to hold me right where I am. And then he says, verse 2, may he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. I love this. I love this verse. May he send you help from the sanctuary. I wish you'd do me a favor and just look all around you. Look around you. Go ahead and twist your neck. Don't throw your back out, but just crane your head and look around. Just look around you. Every person you just saw is help. Every person you just saw is support. I know you feel all alone. I realize no one may know your secret, but these are people who will support you. Get into a small group. Because we're talking about things in small groups. We're making connections in small groups that it's hard to do during 1 minute meet on Sunday. It's hard to do when Sundays are full and moving fast and busy and quick. But I get in a small group with 5 other people or 10 other people or 12 other people. And all of a sudden, man, I see you on Sunday, but I never knew your name. It's good to get to know you. And now to learn a little bit more about your story. It's amazing. I'm not alone. What I'm going through, what the enemy has been shaming me with, what the enemy has been defeating me with, what the enemy has been weakening me with, all of a sudden I feel stronger because I have help from the sanctuary. I've got people who have my back. Can I tell you there is nothing more encouraging than knowing there are people in my corner. There is somebody who will push my wheelchair today. There is someone who will hold my arms up. There is someone who will pat me on the back and bless me and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm standing with you and we can survive this together. Is anybody thankful for your faith family? It's going to send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. I love it, support from Zion. It's both a place and a people. Zion is referred to as the Jewish nation, but it's also that city set on a hill. They referred to it as Zion, a place and a people, a place of worship and also people who worship. The Church Covington is a place and a people. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord on August the 20th, 2023. Let's go into the house of God and let's worship together and let's pray together and let's take ground in the kingdom together. Let's see God do great things in our lives. This is both a place and a people. And I promise you, we're not here to look at you. I love that about our house. We're not judgmental. We're not side-eyeing. We're not just keeping you at a distance while we check you out, you know. I remember one time I was in a revival in South Carolina, and we had preached for several weeks, and it was a grueling revival. They didn't have music. They were singing out a cappella. I mean, everything about that revival was hard work, and we were going Tuesday through Sunday. Y'all new ones don't even know nothing about this kind of church I was raised in. We were having church Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, no music. I'm all kind of musical and want to use that to help set an atmosphere, and we got a cappella singing just as off key as it can be. And I'll never forget, God sent two college age girls into that service, and both of them got just gloriously saved that night. I mean, it was beautiful. It was incredible. They had this powerful supernatural experience in the altars, and we got back to the pastor's house where I was staying, and it was just he and his wife and me, and we were sitting there eating some bologna sandwiches or something, and I said, oh, that was awesome. I'm so thankful for those two girls, and neither one of them said anything. And I said, well, I know they're kind of older. It was so great tonight. Just in case they took their hearing aids out, I don't know what it was. And he said, yeah. He said, we'll see in about 6 months. And I said, what? I'm just a young preacher, you know, right out of Bible college. I said, what do you mean? He said, we're going to watch them. We're going to watch them for 6 months and see if it sticks. Well, if you're watching them, who's watching you? I mean, I don't like that. I mean, I understand. We're going to know them that labor among us, and we're going to get to know people. But I mean, listen, if God thought enough of you to fill you with his spirit today, who am I to sit back and say, well, let me give them another look? I'm not going to judge you. I'm here to support you and to help push you on and help you find your destiny and your purpose and what God has called you to do. I'm thankful that he's sending us help from the sanctuary and support from Zion. Amen, because there's nothing like it. But let me be practical. Let me be practical. If you need support, you got to tell someone you need support. If you need help, you've got to tell someone, because we cannot read minds. Sometimes we'll find out somebody's been sick, and we're finding out way late, and somebody will have feeling hurt, and hey, nobody called, nobody came, nobody helped me. We didn't know. Please pick up the phone. Please contact, reach out to somebody so that we can support you. Look at verse 3. He said, may he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. So every sacrifice you've ever made, what is a sacrifice? It could be the sacrifice of praise. But he said, we want God to remember all of your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. I got to asking the Lord today, how is my credit? How's my credit with you? What do I have in the bank as far as sacrifices and burnt offerings and worship? What do I have? The Revelation taught us that he is keeping every tear, and all of that is being stored up, and he's going to pour it back out as blessing and strength in our lives. If he remembers every prayer that we pray, how much have we put in the bank this week? How much have we saved up in the last month? How much have we banked up in our lives. Remember the time that I had extra and I blessed others. Now look where I am. I need some of that to come back into my life, because if it's me in trouble, I need all of that to come back my way. Because I'm going to just tell you something about Pastor Darrell. I will not lay in an ER facing a major surgery and not remind God, hey, I was working for you today. And I know you didn't make me climb out on that ledge. But Lord, I was doing your work today. I need you to remember every sacrifice, every offering, every praise, every prayer. I need you to come to my rescue. You say you talk to the Lord like that? I'm not being a smart aleck. He said, come boldly. Bold is not timid. Bold is not ashamed. Bold is not afraid. Bold comes bursting through the door saying, hey, Lord, here I am. It's me standing in the need of prayer. I need your help. I need you to move. I need you to work in my life. I need you to get me out of this. I need you to help me. We went to the first hospital, and that young guy came in with a big machine and was doing x-ray on my leg, and PK had stepped out, and my kids had stepped out, and to get that big machine in, and he was talking to me, and how did you do this, you know, and it was, you know, they're all just fascinated that I broke my leg while preaching. They've never heard of that. I get it. It'll probably end up in a book someday, but he was kind of laughing, but when he got everything set and I heard him clicking, taking pictures with that x-ray, I saw the look on his face, because he just went from smiling, looking at me, following along my story, and he went. And he's just a tech, so he's not allowed. I said, what? He said, oh, the doctor will be in to talk to you in a minute. And then he came back later to take more x-rays, and he said, man, I knew when that picture came up on my screen. He said, no, he's not staying here. And so they get an ambulance to take me to Athens to a trauma orthopedist. And when that doctor arrives, the doctor on call Sunday night and literally sets down in our room and spends about an hour with us. Terrence Bratton was there. He's helping me today. And Terrence was in the room, and that doctor is explaining just how bad this break is, because once they told me it was broke, I thought, okay, well, just, you know, put me in a cast or put me in a brace and I'm gonna go home and, you know, everything's gonna be normal. No, they broke the news. You are not gonna take a shower for 2 weeks, sir. This is a deal. This is a deal. When he began to explain how serious this break was, then he began to explain the process of how they were going to repair it, and started talking about not one surgery, but two surgeries. What do you mean? He said, because it's swelling so much. That's what Austin was trying to get to when he was wanting to cut my jeans, because the swelling and how it was swelling up where that compound fracture was. He said, because of the swelling, he said, usually we cannot do the surgery to make the repair. He said, we have to, what we call, unzip you, which means we have to make a cut in your leg that allows the swelling a place to go, and put your leg in a halo, and you're going to be like that for a few days until the swelling calms down, and then come back and do another major surgery. And before I could even think, I started saying, doctor, you're not going to understand this language, but I rebuke that. And he looked at me and said, okay. I'm not having two surgeries. I cannot do that. That will not work. I need to get this done. And I get up to the room where they admit me, and Dawn is my nurse. For the night, I had her the first 3 nights or so, and she was fantastic, and I pray God's greatest blessing on her. But she came into the room after they got me settled, and she said, all right, what are we facing? The word had spread. Everybody was calling me pastor. Pastor, what's going on? What do we need to do? And I said, they've got me first up for surgery at 8 a.m. in the morning, but they're going to have to do two surgeries if the swelling is not down. And she looked at it, and she said, okay, let's figure this out. And I didn't sleep a wink on Sunday night, but every 30 minutes, Dawn came in and iced down my leg and would let it be there for 30 minutes. She would come back on the dot, take the ice off, let it let it set for 30 minutes, come back with fresh ice. She did it all night long. And at 8 a.m., they rolled me in for surgery, and the doctor comes in. He's like, hey, man, we're going to do this surgery, but I don't know if we're going to be able to do it all. He said, I need to look at your leg. And he opened up that immobilizer that they had, and he said, oh, no, this is awesome. He said, I don't know what happened, but your swelling is perfect. I'm going to be able to do this entire surgery. Yeah. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. Folks, you have not because you're asking not. You're not getting it because you're not declaring it. Speak up. Let him hear you, Lord. I'm reminding you. You say, Pastor Dale, I don't think my credit's so good. My score is way down spiritually. Start building it up. Start praying right now. Start saying, Lord, I need you to put me on the fast track to credit, spiritual credit restoration. I need you to get me on the fast track to a saving. I need you to get me on the fast track because I don't know what's coming in life. I just know I want to be prepared for whatever it is. Hallelujah. Verse 4, may he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. What is the desire of your heart, folks? What are your dreams? Do your desires and your dreams honor him? When we get into battle, especially a good battle, you've been in a good battle. You've been in a good trial. You've been in a good season of struggle or pain or disappointment or grief or whatever it may be. But when you get into a battle, however you define battle, we often see the battle or the trial as the end. We have this fatalistic mindset. Well, this is the one that's going to take me out. You know, we're like Fred Sanford. Every time he had a little heartburn, he was coming. Ethel, I'm coming. This is it. This is it. This is the last one. It was that fatalistic mindset that just knew that every pain was going to be the pain that took him out. And we tend to think, because the enemy designed his plan of attack just that way, to make us feel all alone, to make us feel too weak to fight back, to make us feel like our faith has failed us and we have no one who cares about us and we have no support system and I don't even have anybody's phone number and I don't even know where to turn or what to do. That is all the plan of the enemy. So when you start feeling those feelings bombarding you, realize, wait a minute, this is the attack of the enemy. Shake that mess off. Push that mess off and say, hey, I declare the goodness of God. I declare Jesus. I declare him in my life and rebuke the devil in my life because he has come to give me the desires of my heart and make all of my plans succeed. This is why I need to make sure I have desires and dreams that are beyond where I am right now. If you don't see life beyond today, if you don't see marriage beyond today, if you don't see finances beyond today, you got to get a plan for the future. You've got to get a dream for the future. God told Jeremiah, I have plans for you, plans to prosper and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Tell someone around you, tell them, I've got plans. I've got plans. I've had plans all week to be at church. I have been in my house all week. Sun or stars in many days have appeared in my life. But I'm going to church. And I told Terrence, who's helped me today, I said, man, I think I'm going to want to go to lunch after church. And PK said, no, you're not. You're not going to lunch. Your foot's going to be swollen. You got to come home. No, I've got plans. I've got plans, woman. I can't eat another sandwich. I got plans. You've got to have some plans in your life. God has plans for you. He wants you to have plans for you as well. And because I have plans, that's why I'll get beyond this. Because I have dreams, that's why I will get beyond this. Because you have a plan and because you have a dream, that's why your struggle will be temporary and the afflictions in your life will be light and momentary. Is this word helping anybody today? Amen. That's why this fall, that fall, this wheelchair, the walker I struggle with, 3 months of recovery, cannot stop me because I've got plans. You want to see a picture? I think they got a picture of that. All that white, that's my leg. Don't anybody lust over that. Go back to the other one for just a moment. That's looking at my leg face down. So all of that white stuff is all metal. Those are plates on either side of my leg. Go to the next. That's a plate that's running on the inside of my calf. If I told you how much each one of those plates cost, you would drop your teeth. And then he couldn't even count how many screws it was. He couldn't even give me a number of how many screws it took to put all that in and put all the bone back together. But those plates and those screws, they're going to help me fulfill God's purpose in my life. You say, Pastor Dale, that last battle left me wounded. I've got a scar. But God's going to use that scar. That last season, that failed marriage, that difficulty in my life, that financial collapse, man, I just keep regretting and lamenting, and what could I have done different, and what could I have said, and how could that have turned, and how could we have saved this or saved that? And God is saying, Just let me use it for my glory. I didn't cause it, but I will use it. I will use it. Tell somebody again, I've got plans. Got plans. Look at verse 5. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. You got to remember, David and his army are on their way to the battle. They're not in the battle yet. They're on their way to the battle. But before they get to the battle, they decided to go ahead and shout for victory before the battle even began. Before the struggle even began. Before the war ensued. What would happen if we wouldn't wait till the battle's over? It was an old gospel song. No, wait till the battle is over. Shout now. What if I would keep a praise on my lips and keep worship? Worship is not your get out of trouble card. Praise is not your get out of pain card. Keep a lifestyle of worship. Keep a lifestyle of praise so that you're worshiping ahead of things and putting praise in the bank and just storing up sacrifices and blessings so that you can shout for joy over your victory. Wait a minute, we haven't shot the first arrow. We haven't thrown the first javelin. We haven't mounted the first horse, but we're praising God for the victory even now. That's what I want to do. I don't know what I'm facing this coming week. I don't know what's happening next week, but I'm going to go ahead and give God praise for victory even in the things that I don't know are up ahead. Anybody feel like giving them a praise for whatever you're going to face this week and deal with this week and go through this week? Lord, I worship you that we are victorious no matter what comes our way. Lord, if I could get out of this chair. I'm not waiting until the end of 3 months. Well, I'll just see how it goes. No, I'm going to praise God now. And then he says, may the Lord grant all your requests. May he answer your prayers. May he grant the godly desires of your heart. We don't pray in doubt, we pray in faith. Because faith calls those things that are not as though they were. That's why we celebrate faith and our faith, because our faith is helping us call victory into our present and battles won into our present and healing into our present. We're calling things that are not as though they were. The Lord granting all of our requests. God helping us. Now this I know. Verse 6. Now this I know. Have you found it in your Bible? Underline. Type it into your notes. Now this I know. That's where it begins, folks. It has to start right there. You have to know that God is on your side. And I'm preaching to people today that are not convinced of that. I feel you in this room pulling on my spirit. You don't know that. You're not certain. You're not convinced. There's others that are sitting around you that, man, they've been through hell and high water and struggle and pain, and they have proven God faithful time and time and time again, and they are absolutely convinced. But David said, this I know. Meaning there is no circumstance I can face. There is no enemy that can come in my way. There is no challenge that can befall me. There is no pain. There is no difficulty. There is no issue that can arise. There is no bill that can show up. There is no bad news that can call my phone. There is no diagnosis the doctor can give. There is no bankruptcy. There is no break-in. There is no nothing that can convince me that God doesn't have me in his hand. I feel the Holy Ghost. This I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Because see, when we doubt, the enemy will use that doubt to keep twisting us and turning us around. But the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers us. You are an anointed people. No, Pastor Darrell, I'm a struggling believer. You are anointed. If David can be anointed in all of his struggles, you can too. You are anointed. Say it. Say, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. Make it a daily confession. Write it on your mirror in lipstick. Make sure your husband don't misinterpret that, you know. I am anointed. I believe, I know who I am in God. And then he said, you've heard it many times, some trust in chariots and some in horses, verse 7. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. David is saying, our enemy has put their faith in the horse they ride or the chariot they sit in. But my trust is higher than that. If something happens to the horse I'm riding or the car I'm driving or the house I'm living in or the job I'm working, then God has another horse. God has another car. God has another house. God has another job. I can't lose if I'm in faith. And if we look around, the things of the world, they're trusting. The things the world is trusting in are so flimsy. I've got a good friend who just launched a church in Washington, D.C. We were talking this week, and He said, I've got a guy that's been coming for a few weeks and I've preached a lot in DC, and it's interesting when you meet people because they go to churches and they may work for the, you know, CIA or, you know, the three-letter agencies, and they don't tell you that. You know, you'll just meet them. What do you do? I'm a teacher. They're trained to not tell you those things. And he keeps talking to this guy. This guy comes one day after he had preached a message about kind of the end times and the coming of the Lord, and something really resonated with this gentleman, and you know, they knew one another's names. He's been coming for a few weeks. He's met him. He's talked to him, but he's just kind of downplayed everything that he does. And he said, you know, Pastor, you were talking about some things today, talking about, you know, this drive toward world one, this drive toward a one world government. And, you know, we went through COVID and no one had changed, and just all of these things that are happening, and, you know, increasingly making it harder to use cash. Go to restaurants now, the sign on the door says we're cashless. You know, you got to use a debit card or credit card. All of that, ladies and gentlemen, is on purpose. And that's not the message today, but that's some of the things that my friend was teaching about. And so this man starts talking about things that are happening, and he finally says, man, look, what do you do? And he said, well, I work at the Pentagon. And he said, you know, the Pentagon has lost our recent accounting. He said, I don't remember what it was, like $61 billion in the last audit. They literally have no idea where it is. No idea where it is. And this man is the lead accountant over trying to find that money. The lead accountant. He's the guy. And he's under so much pressure. And he's under so much stress. And he told my friend just a Sunday ago, he said, Pastor, you have no idea. He said, our economy is holding on by a thread. You have no idea how we are teetering on just the brink. And listen, I'm still going to go to lunch today because I got plans. Feeling good right now. I got plans. I'm going to occupy until he comes. Some are trusting in chariots, and some have all their trust in stock market. Some have all their hope in this and that. But David said, you better just remember the name of the Lord our God. I preached longer than I wanted to preach, but let me wrap it up right here. Verses 8 and 9. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. I may fall. 4 Sundays ago today, I did fall. I'm still seated. But I won't take this sitting down. I meant to get to this sooner and spend more time on this, but that's what I've just felt in my spirit for the last couple of weeks. I won't take this sitting down. That's an idiom. It's a statement people say and make. The definition says, I refuse to tolerate or accept something unfortunate or unjust without resistance, argument, or action. It describes someone who is not willing to accept a situation without a fight. That's why I had to preach today, because I won't take this sitting down. And here's the thing, I'm seated temporarily. So I need you to stand. I'm seated. Yeah, that's all right. Stand, literally. I honestly thought you have so many things go through your mind because I'm always pushing, driving, worship, and if you come, that area over there, it's just kind of my area. You're welcome to come join me, but I'm just all over that area right now. And it's just my worship spot. It's my altar. It's my... And I thought, maybe the devil told me, you're going to get back there, and because you're in a chair, they're all going to sit down. Everybody's just going to sit down during worship because you're seated. And when I came in here last Sunday and we're all on your feet, it's a weird feeling. It messes with my psyche a little bit. I got to be honest. But I need you to stand these next few weeks, these next couple of months. Stand in worship. Stand in faithfulness. Stand in your serve. I'm going to serve right along with you. I'm going to worship right along with you. Stand in generosity. I'm going to give right along with you. But as a church, we recognize the enemy and how craftily he would want to slow our growth and weaken our stance. But you know what? We will not take this sitting down. Hey, I don't know what you're facing in your life. I don't know which one of these verses was your verse today, but I challenge you. It's a fast read. It's 9 verses, Psalm 20. I challenge you every day this week, get it on your phone, an app, open those pages, read it every day for a week. I challenge you, read it every day. It's 9 verses. You read it fast. It's quick. Read them. Let this become a prayer. Let this become a starting point of worship for your day. Do it in the morning. Do it while you're still laying in bed, before you go get the kids, before you go make the PB&J, before you decide what you're going to wear to work today. Read it. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of our God. Today, I'm going to trust in you, God. Today, I'm going to trust in you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our team is getting ready to lead us again. But if you're in this room today and you've not made that decision, you've not made that choice, or maybe today is the day to say, you know what, I need to rededicate. I've allowed my faith to get weak. I've just allowed myself to get in a position of just, I'm not in my power position. I'm not in my confident place. But today, Lord, I pray for every single person in this room today, Jesus, every heart, every mind, every voice today that feels like they have a call on their life, they have a mandate on their life, they know there is purpose, but the enemy, man, he laid a good trap. He came up with a good plan this time, and I just got caught up in it. But today, Lord, I feel support in this house. Today, I feel the strength of people all around me. Today, I feel a renewing and a reviving of my spirit. Today, I tell the enemy, the Lord rebuke you. I command you to get out of my house. I command you to get out of my car. I command you to get out of my cubicle. I command you to get out of my backyard. I command you to get out of my mind. Today I am free in Jesus. Today I am whole in Jesus. Come on, can you give God a praise today? Can you give God a praise today?